Southside in Batesville starts Friday night, 7 o'clock. They're going to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then an evening service right after preaching. A meal and then, I think, a tube. Is that right? It's the last evening service on Sunday. 1 o'clock, okay. 1 o'clock then, afternoon worship on Sunday. So if you get an opportunity to visit with those brethren, they would appreciate you supporting them. Our meeting will start the last Sunday of this month. I think that'll be the 28th, if you look at the calendar, if I'm correct. It'll start on the 28th. It'll run on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday through Wednesday. Dean Fugit from Cave City will be doing the preaching. If we got someone that could volunteer to print out a flyer, we sure would appreciate that. If you have the ability, the computer, that you could do that. We can copy as many as we need. But we do need to work very quickly at the advertising to get mail to the surrounding congregation. So anybody can help us with that. If you let us know at the end of service, we appreciate it. Dale said we appreciate everyone that gathered together on Monday night. Had a good group that showed up, and someone asked me if I learned anything, and I said if I learned anything at all, I would have learned something because I knew nothing when I went in there. And I did. And I just know I've got a lot of memory work to do before the next one. And David's back there, and he can help me do the memory work. So I'm proud. I'm proud we got somebody here that can help me do that. But those of you that missed, try to make the opportunity to be at the next one. Now, tonight, as we begin chapter 3 of Titus, I'd like to back up just a little bit. In the closing section of chapter 2. And notice, if you will, back up in chapter 2 at the end of verse 10. It talks about adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice, if you will, how you leave verse 10 and you start in verse 11, and what is the first word you see? For. We said on Sunday morning that the word for was from a Greek word that you spell G-A-R, gar. I don't know how you spell gar fish, but that word in the original language is gar. And notice, if you will, it kind of tells the purpose. We want you to adorn the doctrine of God. Why? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared. Now notice how those two sentences connect together. And notice, if you will, how many times the word for is used, as well as the word but. Remember, we talked about how those were important little connecting marks. I think that I counted 4 or 5 times that the word for is used in the latter part of chapter 2 and on into chapter 3. Now, that little word is used in other places, and you're familiar with it. Remember what Peter told those on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? When they stopped him and said, what shall we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and do what? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. What's the purpose of being baptized and repenting? It brings the remission of sins. So you see how the word gar here in verse 11, you adorn the doctrine of God. Why do you adorn the doctrine of God? Because the grace of God hath appeared. And then notice, if you will, you see that word "for" again in verse 13. Look how it connects 12 and 13. All right, the grace of God has appeared. What does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Why? Why are we going to do that, folks? For that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Who gave Himself for us? You see how they connect together and how important they really are as just little words that we just may look at and just pass over. And think, well, those are little insignificant things. Well, they are insignificant in the sense that they are three-letter words. But they are a very, very important little word when you start looking at the context, at the expanded context, trying to learn what the Bible teaches us about sin and salvation. Now notice how verse 15 closes out chapter 2. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Alright, now notice, if you will, if when we were studying back in Timothy, 1 Timothy, and we started talking about prayer. And if you remember, there's one section in the book of 1 Peter that talks about different types of prayers. We talked about that, and we broke it down. And we said you pray with supplications, that you pray and there's supplications. Well, that's the same thing that Paul is telling Titus here, not necessarily about prayer, but about teaching or preaching. These things speak, Titus, or teach, Titus. You exhort and you rebuke with all authority. They're ways of teaching, ways of instructing people. You may just teach publicly, speak publicly. And everyone may get the message. But then if you're speaking publicly and not everyone gets that message, you might have to exhort some. And then after you teach, after you exhort, and there's still some that refuse to get the message, you might have to rebuke them sharply. And Paul tells this young preacher, he said, now look, don't let those old geezers down there despise this teaching when you go to them and you teach them this. Because you're speaking by the authority of God. You're doing exactly what we instructed you to do. You go to Crete and you teach these people. Now remember, if you will, we talked about Titus and Timothy, and how long did we say that they had the opportunity to work with Paul? How many years?
Wasn't it about 15?
Yeah, about 15, 16 years. Maybe as long as 18, depending on how long, Paul lived. So you can see why they were highly skilled teachers, no matter if they were just 30 or 35 years old. They had been instructed, they had been taught, and not only that, Paul would lay hands on them. So they had the gift of the Holy Spirit with them. They did not need to back up from anyone that would deny what they were teaching. Now notice how he flows from verse 15 of chapter 2 and just steps right on into chapter 3. Now, we were talking about the translation process, and we've looked about three times and had about three studies about the translating process. There was a time if you picked up a translation, there was no verses. And there was no division marks from chapter to chapter. So, you know, it's quite a help for the translating committees to break it down and include verses and chapters. But then then sometimes we just assume that you end one chapter and you start another, and there's no connecting message between the two. We miss a lot if we fall into that category. Notice how these two chapters, remember, he's just finished talking about the grace of God that brings salvation. And we talked about what he did, what the grace of God was on Sunday. Notice how he starts in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Put them, who is them?
Anyone listening, real quick.
Anyone listening, but primarily the brethren on the Isle of Crete. Put them in mind to be subject to the principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Why, Paul? What's the next word?
Or.
Or. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hate, and hating one another. You see why he said put them in mind of these things and not to speak evil of no man? Because we need to think about there was a time in our lives when we were just as guilty as these people in these particular categories. Now, it's kind of interesting when you kind of really break this section down, and especially verse 2. Notice he says, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, deceived, serving divers lusts. What do you think about when you think about the word serve or serving?
Following.
Pardon?
Following.
Yes, but in our language today, we may think, somebody needs to serve me a piece of cake. But when you think about the word serving, David kind of hit the ball out of the park, because if you look at the example of this word serve or serving, it means to be enslaved to an object. And as David said, if you are following or serving an object or someone, it could fall into two categories, could it not? It could be a very positive thing, but it could be a very negative thing. In this case, what would it be? We ourselves were sometimes foolish and disobedient because we were serving, we were enslaved to an object. It would be negative. Because we were practicing divers lust and pleasure, living in malice. Another interesting word. When you're talking about malice, it's talking about a way of life. And it really specifies the kind of life that they were living. A mean spirit.
Sort of means you already have a pre-supposed idea of somebody before you even know it.
Yeah.
That's what malice is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So he's saying, look, we were living in malice and envy If you look at the American Standard translation of that, they use the word through. And if I'm not mistaken, the New King James translation uses the word through. He said, we were saved through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. For he shed, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law. Why? For they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first or second admonition, reject. Now, notice, if you will, verse 7. He talks about being justified by his grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, again, this concept of being made heirs is talking about those who have obtained a portion of something. Now, how do we obtain a portion of something in this context?
You've got to be entitled to it.
Okay, and how are we entitled to it? What did we do?
By grace.
By grace. Not a what, Harold?
I said by grace.
It's not a what?
Not a work.
That we have what? Done. We have a part of something. Now let's back up just a little bit and look at where Paul is going with Titus. Just like when we closed out chapter 2. We are to adorn the doctrine of God. Why? Because the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Did all men accept it? No. Will all men accept it? No. But that event has transpired. The grace of God hath appeared to all men. So we should be adorning the doctrine of God. We should understand through the grace of God teaching us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. We talked all about that on Sunday. Why? Because we're looking for a blessed appearing. And we have a blessed hope because we're looking for a glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ who gave himself for us to redeem us. Titus, go speak those things that become sound doctrine about that subject. Put the people in mind of that. Remembering that we also at one time were like the people you're trying to teach. We were just as guilty as they. But Charles, have you got the New King James or the New American Standard?
All right, New King James.
Does yours have of or in?
Which verse is this?
It is verse 5.
Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration.
Okay. Some translations have the word in instead of of. Not by works in righteousness which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us. So what do we learn from this that we cannot do? We cannot earn salvation. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn our salvation. There's not any works that we can be involved in that will earn our salvation when we expect to be saved by our works. Remember, the same situation was true under the old law. What could the old law not do? Couldn't save them. They could kill all the bulls and all the goats and shed as much blood as they could drain from those animals. And those sacrifices and that particular blood offering, those particular blood offerings, could not save one single solitary person. All those people that died by faith that we read about in the Hebrew epistle, chapter 11, boy, it goes all the way back to the patriarchal system and starts. Then it covers those that lived under the Mosaic system. All those people that lived and died in faith. That is mentioned there in Hebrews chapter 11. Are those like them that lived and died that way? Knew. Some way, somehow, they studied the scriptures and understood that there had to be someone coming. Later they learned it would be from the seed of David. They understood there was someone coming at one time. As we said, Galatians 4:4, when God saw fit to send him, he would, and he did. And he died on the cross of Calvary, was buried and ascended back to heaven. He's now the King of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us and purify us. And not only that, but create for himself a special people. You see why the church is really not... We say church all the time. But it's really not a true description of what we're talking about. Because when you talk about the church to most people, what do they think about?
Building.
A building somewhere with brick made out of brick and mortar. They think about a cathedral in Rome. When you talk about the church, you're thinking about a building. But when you're talking about redemption, and when you're talking about the church, you're talking about the ecclesia, the called out people. What people? Those special people that Christ came and died for to redeem and purify and create him a special people to do what? To do his will. To teach his will. And if we live like Paul said they were living, we'll never accomplish that. How did the Jews fail? Feet fail under the old system. What caused them to fail? What did God want out of them? an obedient people who reverenced and trusted him. And what did they do? Turned to idols. Got them in trouble on two different occasions. If we live like we're talking about here, what's going to happen to us? The same thing that happened to them. We're going to be cast out, cast off. We're not going to do that because why? The kindness of the love of God and truth. And the kindness of the love of God has appeared to teach us and show us. You're talking about His mercy. Talking about His kindness. And it's teaching us, as verse 5 says, that, oh, it's not by works that we were involved in, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now we're heirs. We are those who have obtained a portion of something. What is it? Eternal life. The hope of spending eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We'll pick up here. We'll probably do the introduction to 1 Timothy in our Bible study on Sunday morning. But I want to go back here when we come together on Sunday and talk about these two verses, because they're so, I mean, they are just a treasure chest of teaching.